was just saying. We're sitting here, Shay Hag. It's 2:18 PM. I'm doing my standard time saving thing that I do on my blog audio. I'm here talking with Mum about family issues. And she was just saying, where do we go from here? And I was just talking about, certain issues, which I don't think I'll get into now. But what I was going to propose is that because we seem to be sort of stuck, and we've been stuck for quite a long time on a point that, is a bit of a, and that's really what I wanted to talk about. We've gotten distracted talking about other things, but this question of, Mum and I are absolutely in agreement that we need to all sit down together with a mediator and sort of try to untangle all this stuff with a kind of reasonably neutral third party, and that's the way to go in terms of moving forward. But I do have a requirement that I set a long time ago and that I've stuck to, that both Jess and Meg owe me apologies before I should be expected to sit down and engage in good faith, kind of civil negotiations with them. And I think that that's an eminently reasonable request, really. And as I've said, if they want me to apologise for things or think that there are things that I can sort of quite straightforward that I owe them an apology for, I'm willing to hear what they are and consider what they are. I don't really see, in terms of the last couple of years, that I've done anything to them which is so grievous that it warrants an apology, but I may be missing something and I'm prepared to hear that. But I think it's, and I'm not denying that that's necessarily the case, but it is the case, and I'll say this, that, you know, I've been treated by them in ways that warrant an apology, and I don't think that's really arguable with on any reasonable grounds. In terms of Jess, it's pretty straightforward. The irony is it's not even a big thing. It was a one-off incident, you know? It was, she lost her shit. She went full retard. We've all done it. I know I've done it. And it's okay. But as I said immediately afterwards, and I've seen no reason to change that position, it's not all right for her to speak to me that way. To, you know, she was spoken in an incredibly aggressive, angry, shouty sort of way in a packed kind of courtyard of a place in public that I go to regularly, which is completely humiliating. I don't believe that I yelled at her. I don't think I even criticised her. I certainly was talking about issues related to our family, which I think I sort of am not allowed to talk about, and it's seen as me being in some way offensive to even raise or mention them. But I wasn't, I think, being aggressive or even particularly directly critical of her. She lost her shit and just gave me this tirade of abuse, this Barnabyizing sort of abuse that I hadn't sort of heard or even, you know, had to deal with since kind of Canberra days, which as far as I'm concerned was just about trying to, the message was basically, well, don't complain about being treated like shit, Barnaby, because you are shit. And I'll cherry pick bits from over here when I, you know, and that's not appropriate. She doesn't know me. We've barely spoken. I can count on the fingers of one hand the number of substantial conversations we've had in the last 10 years, and we're not a part of each other's lives. We're not directly involved in each other's lives at all, which I think is really sad. But the reason for that is that in the past I've found she has a tendency, and an unrepentant tendency, to do that, to just cherry pick bits of information from over there. I can selectively take this thing and use it against you. I can take this hearsay that I've heard from Meg about that your ex-partner took out an intervention order against you, which isn't true, and use that against you. Whatever, I can, you're shit, Barnaby, please stop complaining about us treating you like shit, because you are shit. It was pretty offensive, pretty upsetting, and she did it very aggressively. It was also really humiliating in the context, and I don't appreciate being spoken to that way. When I was trying to be civil, I did not lose my cool. To the very end, I didn't lose my cool. I didn't get angry at her, I didn't yell at her, I didn't abuse her. So, you know, it was a one-off incident, doesn't matter. But the fact that she seems to think for some reason that she doesn't need to say sorry for that makes it a big issue, because it's part of a pattern where I'm expected to cop being treated abusively, and that's just normal. That's just the way you treat. But why is Barnaby complaining about being treated like Barnaby? He is Barnaby. Why can't he just accept it and not make trouble? And I'm not really down with that. I think that in this particular single incident, which in itself was not a big deal. But if you want me to sit down and talk to you, I'd like you to demonstrate that you recognise that it's not all right to yell at me like that, in public, incredibly abusively, and that you're sorry for doing that. And then we can talk. Pretty simple. And it's sort of like, why is it that you are so stubbornly just saying, no, not going to do it. I don't have to do that. Why should I apologise? Because I'm asking for an apology and I'm owed one. Simple. So, you know. And it would be great because it would move this situation forward, which I think would certainly make Mum happy. You may not care about how I feel, but it would also make me happy. I think, you know, in general, it would be a step forward in this situation, which is intractably stalled and that I am at the point of giving up on. Meg is more complicated. It's a more complicated situation and there are more factors in play. But at the end of the day, as far as I'm concerned, and I realise that there are other points of view on this, and there are factors that are relevant that I may be underestimating. I'm not saying that it's simple, but I am saying it's pretty clear to me that there are numerous instances of Meg's behaviour over the last couple of years, which to my mind are throwbacks to an earlier era back in Canberra when she routinely treated me in a way that I really didn't like and didn't think was acceptable. And, you know, we seem to have sort of worked on that, and that's why it's so devastating, because it sort of felt like we'd made progress and we'd actually had developed a real rapport and developed a kind of mutually respectful, mutually supportive, kind of positive adult relationship. So to see, as far as I could perceive, her slipping back into these old patterns of behaviour has been upsetting. And, you know, there's a couple of things I could cite. But from my point of view, this all started sort of like early 2012 or late 2011, where I was getting very tired of Occupy. And we'd previously had a falling out because I just felt, you know, in the previous era when I was dealing with the Gab situation, which was pretty upsetting, and I fell into very serious depression, the most serious since I moved to Melbourne. And somewhat typically, Meg was not highly supportive of that. She wasn't around. I remember having to chase her to get her to come Christmas shopping with me, because I found myself deserted by my entire circle of friends. It was very isolating and very, very upsetting, you know. And I thought, well, at least I've got Meg, at least I've got my sister, she'll be there for me, because she's not involved in this and she's my friend. And she wasn't around, you know. She's like, oh, all right, as a favour to you, I'll come Christmas shopping with you, sort of thing. And so that was disappointing, and we fell out over that a bit. But we sort of patched it up. I recovered. I mean, and I do understand, like, when someone's really depressed, they're not fun to be around and you've got to protect yourself. I've tried to be understanding of that. But the point was, this was later. I'd recovered. I was on the mend. And I was involved in this really interesting thing, this really exciting thing, which was Occupy, hugely consuming and very challenging, very difficult, very taxing. But it was interesting. It was the most interesting thing, you know, sort of happened in my life since NeuroCam, which Meg was also completely absent for. And I was sort of like, where's my sister in all of this? Where is she? You know, I'd like to talk to her. It wasn't like I was expecting her to be at my beck and call or to be around 24/7, but just like Meg should be sort of a part of this in some way. You know, I'd like to, you know. And I just didn't get a sense that she really gave much of a shit or was really very interested. And that was disappointing. It wasn't terrible, but it was sad and it was frustrating me. And I just felt neglected, frankly, and taken for granted. So I was like, got a bit of an issue here. I'd like to talk about this. Can we sit down and have a chat? And Meg's attitude was sort of like, nah, I don't, you know, like, nah, don't care. You know, I don't care how you feel. And again, this was a throwback to me, to the Canberra era, the bad old days. You know, and she was using very similar language, which said, oh, I just want things to be simple, you know, I just want simplicity. So to me, that was sort of code for, well, I just want to extract from you what positive value I can get out of you, and I don't want to have to work on the nuts and bolts of our relationship. I don't want to have to do any work. I don't want to have to care about your feelings unless it's convenient and pleasing for me to do so. In other words, I want a very shallow relationship with you at best, you know, and an exploitative one at worst. And that didn't gel with what we'd talked about since we'd reconciled, which was that we'd sort of explicitly said to each other we wanted to deepen our relationship, we wanted to become better friends, we wanted to get closer, we wanted to work on our differences. And so I found that hard to reconcile and pretty disappointing. that when I said, well, you know, I've got some issues I'd like to talk, it doesn't have to be a big, heavy discussion, but I'd just like to have a chat and see where we're each other's at and get on the same page and try to understand each other better because I'm feeling a bit neglected and a bit unhappy with how you're treating me. And she was like, no, I don't want to, you know, like, if you want to get together and just talk about bullshit and have a very shallow kind of conversation, then I guess I'm up for that. We could have coffee and talk about stuff, you know, that isn't this stuff, you know, but I don't want to have to talk about your feelings or your needs or any of this stuff. I don't care about that sort of thing. And I found that disappointing. And so I pushed the point and to the point where we became increasingly adversarial and we were forced to engage via text messages and Facebook messages, which at the time, Mum, I think, will certainly concur with me on this, is not a very good way. She's shaking her head. Not a very good way to deal with highly charged, complex discussions or you know, stuff where there's a lot of complexity and a lot of emotion involved. It just doesn't work. It leads to train wrecks. And I'd seen that with Occupy and was having it demonstrated to me on a daily basis because we'd all retreated, or you know, as the situation progressed and we went into winter, we all retreated from behind our computers and started killing each other online rather than sitting down in person and chatting things out like we used to. And yeah, so that's something I was very well aware of. And I was sort of like, well, you know, like if I'm your brother and our relationship matters to you and I matter to you, how about you have the courage and make the time and take, you know, and to do what adults do in serious relationships when they've got an issue, which is sit down, look each other in the eye and try to talk things through. You know, like, am I not worth that to you? You know, like, apparently not, because you flatly refuse to do it. And I found that to be pretty disappointing and pretty retrograde and pretty disrespectful and pretty upsetting. You know, and cowardly, frankly, because I reckon the reason you didn't want to do that is because you were scared, you know, and it was just, it wasn't too much to ask to sit down and have a conversation with me face to face. But things got more and more adversarial to the point where you blocked me on Facebook and sent me a self-diagnosis quiz for narcissistic personality disorder. Because obviously if I'm so self-absorbed that I have this crazy idea that my sister might make the time to sit down and have a mature discussion with me about our relationship, you know, I must be suffering from narcissistic personality disorder and should be blocked on Facebook, you know, and that's not particularly nice, and that made me pretty angry, and I was also pretty angry at Mum that she seemed to think that was acceptable, when I, as far as I'm concerned, it was not acceptable, and I'd like you to say sorry for doing that. I don't think that simply because I wanted to sit down with you and have a talk face-to-face about our relationship, which was clearly having problems, I deserve to be blocked on Facebook, you know, and told, you know, that I have narcissistic personality disorder. I think that's pretty childish and pretty offensive. Subsequent to that, we had more text message exchanges, which were pretty rancorous. I think the volume of text messages I received, and I can demonstrate this because I've still got them, on Meg's side were much higher and much more abusive, you know, and I, on multiple occasions, sort of had my phone going off, ding, 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 all night. I don't think that I did that to her. Because all I wanted was to talk in person. I thought that's what we needed to do. Just don't think it's unreasonable. And amongst other things, one of the accusations that were levelled at me was that Gab took out an intervention order against me. You tried to use that as a weapon against me, which I think I was pretty appalled by, given that Meg wasn't involved in the situation at the time. Wasn't around, really wasn't around, but that's another story. Didn't really know what went down, but was willing to make the assumption based on not actually being around, but was willing to assume that somehow I deserved that I had abused her or threatened her or was stalking her or harassing her by phone or in person, none of which I was doing. I sent her a couple of emails, maybe 10 over the course of a year, basically pleading with her, as I was with you, to sit down and talk with me and behave like an adult, which I thought was something she had the capacity to do and something that she owed to that situation. So there was a bit of a parallel there. But I don't think that warranted having an apprehended violence order taken out against me. I think that was a very childish, malevolent thing for her to do. Not that you would know, but thanks for making that assumption, and thanks also for trying to say that she actually did that when she didn't. It's not factually correct to say that she attempted to do it. She filled out a form that anyone can fill in that gives you what's called an interim order until it can go to court, you know, and there's due process. A judge has to approve it. Didn't even get that far. Didn't even go to court. And the reason it didn't go to court is because even she knew that she didn't have grounds for it. So it's not correct to say she took out an intervention order against me. If you wrote that about me in a newspaper, I could sue you for defamation and I would win because it's a lie. So that's not a very nice thing to say about your brother in order to try and undermine and damage him when it isn't true. And I'd like you to say sorry for that. And I think that's fair enough. And finally, there was this incident when you turned up on my doorstep at 4 o'clock in the morning, which in itself was not a whole bunch of fun, you know, day before Adam Ford's 40th birthday weekend, and tried to gaslight me and said, oh, you're suffering from localised psychosis, you know, and previously in phone conversations, said, oh, you know, Barnaby, this family stuff of yours, it's not real, you know, it's made up, you've got to recognise it's a product of your mental illness, Barnaby, you know, trying to exploit the fact that I have a psychiatric diagnosis to invalidate me because you don't like what I'm saying. This is what they do to dissidents in China who criticise the government. They say, oh, they must be crazy if they're criticising the government, we're going to lock them in a mental hospital. And, you know, it's pretty offensive to use a psychiatric illness to try and undermine someone in that way. When, in fact, I think that the criticisms I have about our family are quite valid and quite demonstrably valid and amenful. And, you know, to try to gaslight me like that, to try to convince me that I must be crazy simply because I have these grievances, which are demonstrably have some content to them, is highly abusive and offensive and a pretty shitty way to try and exploit someone's medical condition. You know, you wouldn't use Jessica's medical condition to try and make her shut up when she was saying things you didn't want to hear. So yeah, I think that you can say sorry for that. So that's three things that I think that I'm unambiguously owed an apology for, because they're pretty abusive and pretty offensive. You know, and they're just examples of the kind of behaviour that keeps fucking our relationship as far as I'm concerned, which is you just treat me with no respect. You take me for granted. You know, if you don't like what I'm saying, you shut me down by using my psychiatric diagnosis. And, yeah, I don't think that's the basis for a healthy friendship. I think we should talk to each other. I think that we should try to understand each other. I think we should support each other. You know, and I think we should care about each other. I think that's the basis of a healthy relationship, not any of the shit that I've just litanized. You know, and if you want to fix our relationship, then I'm afraid that I need from Meg, from you, from her, a recognition of that. Like, can we, you know, like, I'm not going to be treated in an abusive way. Because, you know, I think I've been pretty tolerant of that. And pretty forgiving of it, but there comes a time when I'm sort of like, well, you know, is this the thing that's actually going to change? Is there going to be improvement here? We're going to move away from these patterns of relating that are toxic. I think it starts with sitting down and talking to each other and trying to understand each other, which you flatly refuse to do, apparently because you believe that you shouldn't have to. And, yeah, I don't think that's good enough, really. But I would like to sit down and talk, but I think that I'm owed an apology for those things, which are shitful. And yeah, the Jess thing's cut and dry. She owes me an apology. Simple. The Meg stuff's more complex. But, you know, what it goes to the heart of for me is that there is a culture in our family of treating Barnaby a certain way, which is just considered to be normal. And it is normal within this group. I see it from outside that in my real life, in my kind of life in the broader world, as being highly abusive and intolerable, but within our family it's normal. So why should we apologise for it? And what I'm pitching for is the idea that we need to recognise that, you know, and to change that culture. So for example, when I'm treated in a way that's absolutely revolting, you know, it's okay, I can forgive that. You know, we all mess up and none of us is perfect. I'm certainly not claiming to be perfect, but I'd like an apology for being treated, you know, in a way that's shitful, that I think I'm not an apology for it. I'm asking for one. So how about you just give me one, and then we can move on to the next phase. You know, like, and it's just really telling to me that there's this digging in of heels of like, we're not going to apologise to Barnaby for this stuff. You know, and that's always been the answer. Why, you know, why should we, you know? And I've put my case as to why. And, yeah, you know, because I'd like to actually, I think it'd be good if we could talk this stuff through. And I just don't think it's unreasonable to seek an apology for those things. And as I said, if there's stuff that Tessa Meg think I should apologise for, I'm willing to hear what it is. But there you go, you know. And it's just like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to roll over on that one. Like, it's okay that this stuff's occurred. But, I mean, you know, but fundamentally it's not okay. And I'd like us to move away from stuff like that in the future. And one step towards that is to acknowledge that it's not okay. And say sorry. And, you know, I think that would be nice. Because, I always make this point to Mum, but it's worth making here. I don't think anyone in this family is a bad person. I think we're all decent people. I think that we all want to do the right thing. I'm not judging anyone as a human being. I feel like I've been pretty harshly judged, and in some cases pretty unfairly judged by the members of this family. But I know that we're all good people. But I will draw a line in terms of certain treatment that I'm not willing to tolerate, you know. And I have been subjected to treatment within this family by Jess and Meg and Dad that I'm not willing to tolerate. And as such, I'm seeking an apology for some specific instances of behaviour in recent years that are not okay. And that's all. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm entitled to that. And if there is going to be this line held, that, no, we're not, you know, we expect you to come to the table. But we don't have to apologise for any of the stuff that's gone down previously, then that's just continuing a pattern of, as Meg said to me in a text message exchange we had, just get over it. Just get over it, accept that you will be treated this way, that we don't have to apologise, there's nothing wrong with it, you know, and that you're an object of abuse to this group, and that that's what you are. And I don't accept that. I would like to become a member of this family in a real way, in an authentic way, as myself, not as this character of Barnaby that to a very high degree I think just exists to be abused. That's all. Stop it. I never record audio anymore. Here we go.